Welcome to the American Journal. Second hour of the program. We're all excited that you're here with us, joining us. Welcome back. We're getting ready to kick it off. Frog Nationalist will be joining me in a moment. Many of you guys know he's one of the incredible reporters over at Infowars.com. Not just him. Dan Lyman will also be joining us in this hour as well. He is following a lot of our immigration-related stories, the violence that's very typical of those on the left. So he'll be joining us as well. So we look forward to the latest that they are both covering. Because they're covering a lot over at Infowars.com. So we're excited for that. Buckle up, folks. You know, it's so crazy because, and we'll dive into this in a little bit. We've got about a couple minutes before we start the next segment, but to give you some brief overview, you know, Zohar Mamdani, he is now obviously the mayor of New York City. I don't know why we let him become the mayor. We didn't have to, by the way. This was self-inflicted at this point. Could denaturalize him and shipped him off a long time ago. But we don't do those things, apparently. We don't do those things. Well, he's brought on a team of communists, and they're all working underneath him right now. And one of them actually was crying because she was outed for publicly for being an advocate for going after white homeowners. And she's a white woman, too. Happens to, I think she lives in like a $1.4 million mansion. It's just typical. It's part of the course. But this is really interesting. We'll talk about this with Frog Nationalist because he's been digging into this woman, and there's a lot to expose there. Also, he's going to dive into the cyberbullying story that I briefly gave you some overview about. As many of you guys know, we were talking specifically about... Oh, this one's so great. We were talking specifically about Macron and his wife earlier this week. Okay, it's kind of crazy, but over in France, there's a lot going on. And it's not what you'd expect, but... we live in different times where if you say something mean on social media in France, you actually face prison time. And because a lot of people thought that Brigitte Macron is a man, I don't know how you feel about it. I don't do a deep dive into it. It's not really anything up my, you know, I exclusively cover, you know, government corruption, sexual assault cases, but not whether or not she has a ding-a-ling. I know a lot of you have done extensive research into this and bless your hearts. But not me. So I won't say, I won't swing either way on this one. But I will say that 10 people, sadly, because this is a top priority right now in France, were found guilty of cyberbullying. Mr. Macron. And, you know, they're not very happy about it. Obviously, she denies these claims. She denies these claims. Their love story is kind of creepy, though. Kind of creepy. It's fair to ask questions. They are public figures, government officials, of course. But yeah, it resulted in several individuals, 10, I believe it was 8 men, 2 women. They were all rounded up, found guilty. And I believe they were sentenced to something insane, like supervised release, but it's like pending like an 8-month prison sentence. I don't know how things work in France. This is why we're going to have Frog Nationalist on the show. Because he'll know. But again, I mean, what? You're joking, right? France is literally dealing with a massive influx of illegal migrants who are going on their streets, attacking women, attacking girls, sexual assault cases through the roofs. They brought these imports into their country. But you can't focus on that. You have to focus on who says something offensive about Brigitte Macron on social media. Round them up, boys. That's your focus. See, this is why we talk about that these government agencies, these government officials, they pick the easiest fight, right? It's easier to go after someone who says something really mean on social media rather than the actual predators, rather than the people you've imported into your country. Because you know that they're the violent ones. So you got to pick the easier fight. And we see it happening in this country too. Pick the easiest fight. That's the method that these folks pick up. All right, so Frog Nationalist joining me in a minute. So is Dan Lyman. We've got a lot to dive into on Infowars.com. A lot of incredible stories. In the meantime, though, make sure you check out alexjonesapp.com. If you haven't downloaded the app, you better do just that right now. You got about a minute to do it. Head on over, alexjonesapp.com.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Second hour of the program. We're kicking it off right now. Welcome aboard, my friends. All right, we got two incredible reporters from Infowars.com who are going to join us in a second. Raw Egg Nationalist and my good buddy Dan Lyman as well. So buckle up. A lot to discuss, a lot of news to cover. And then third hour of the show, we're going to be talking to my other good friends, I should say, Mehek Cook. She's an attorney. She's been getting a lot of tips about potential Somalian fraud. So she's just, you know, doing what you do when you want to investigate something, and that's knocking on doors, trying to look into all of this. Well, the Somalians aren't very happy with her. They, in fact, assaulted her. So Mehek's going to join us because she has been boots on the ground just trying to look into these tips that are coming in. Apparently, they don't like it. Oh, and they're also a little racist, too. Mehek is obviously someone who, and you probably have seen her before, she often is on Fox News giving her political commentary and her legal experience, her expertise. They don't like it, though. And one of them said, "You're not a white girl." You're going to love this clip. We played it earlier in the week, but there's more of it too. "You're not a white girl. You're Indian." She's like, "I kind of ran on a political campaign as an immigrant from India. So thank you. Yes. Yes, I am." That's how she'll join us in just a little bit. We'll also be joined by Mel Kay. Mel Kay's got a lot of sound off on because, well, if you've been paying attention to what's going on in Ukraine, which most of us have, we all thought there's probably some globalist agenda here. And it looks to be the case. Just another one for the conspiracy theorist. BlackRock is all over it right now. We've got the proof. Unfortunately, though, it's our administration who's also involved in it as well. All right, let's kick things off with the first topic. Obviously, we are dealing with a massive communist takeover. And my beautiful city, New York City, has been conquered. It is depressing. It is nothing I want to actually report on. But the reality of it is everyone saw it coming. I lived in New York City. I saw it. And I quickly picked up in 2018, 2019 and said, I'm out of here. Because there was a normalizing of the socialist movement, which is a communist movement. They just try to give it a nice little fluffy response. A new name. And so I need to hit the door running. But sadly, so many have it. And if you still own property in New York City, not a good investment right now because there's a communist takeover and they are looking to conquer. And they're looking to just seize land. I mean, that's like their dream situation, their dream scenario. Well, an individual who's made it onto Zohra Mamdani's campaign, she's a communist. And it's been very, very obvious that she's a communist because she's used those keywords like for the collective good or whatever they're saying. I mean, they want to take your land. They want to take your property. They want to seize it all. They want the government to run it as if the government was able to run anything appropriately. That's what they're doing right now in New York City. That's where they're going to get to. And so he's put these key communists in key positions and he's been grilled on this. And again, he always gives you like a fluffy, nice guy response. But he did just that yesterday on CNN in clip 11. Take a listen.
You know, that ties back to the campaign promise of affordability. People have been watching what that looks like now that you're in office and also the staff that you've put in place around you. Your pick to be the director of the mayor's office to protect tenants has been facing some criticism, as you know, for a 2019 comment that she had made. She said that home ownership is a weapon of white supremacy and that property should be treated as a, quote, collective good. Are those sentiments that you agree with, Mayor?
No, not at all. I hired our executive director for the mayor's office to protect tenants, not on the basis of her tweets, but on the basis of the work that she has done. And she has won incredible victories for tenants across not just New York City, but also New York State. And I've been heartened to see the work that she's already done on the job here, where she's helping to coordinate rental ripoff hearings across each one of the five boroughs so that tenants have a place where they can actually come forward to showcase the many fees that they've been charged, the lack of adequate facilities that they've been provided right here in New York City, where the housing crisis is foremost top of mind for each and every New Yorker.
Okay, so you disagree with those comments that she made in 2019. You mentioned your relationship with President Trump.
Yeah, so let's jump it on this because he doesn't disagree with that, guys. Come on, he's a communist. He's an Islamist. He doesn't care. He doesn't know. No, he just smiles and says, oh, no. Like I've told you previously, this is all part of the plan. The plan was set in place in 2014. We heard his own campaign director say it to Steven Crowder's team in undercover footage. In 2014, he was the plan. Now, the only problem with that is he didn't become a U.S. citizen until 2018. So we only have ourselves to blame for this communist takeover that's taking place right now in New York City. Joining me to discuss all things related to communism in New York City is my good friend, Mr. Raw Egg Nationalist. He does an incredible job over at Infowars.com, outlining everything you guys need to know about. And, you know, we're excited to have you on today, my friend, because a lot's happening, a lot's going on. Also, I want to remind our audience, if you head over right now to Amazon, your book, The Last Men, Liberalism, sorry, I'm blind right now, got to zoom in, and The Death of Masculinity, it is available right now, hardcover as well as Kindle and the audiobook for purchase over on Amazon. All right, my buddy, let's get to this one because this is kind of crazy, right? We're talking about communism in New York City, and I obviously have been calling this out for months now, but it's quite obvious. They sit there, they run the socialism platform, and they pretend like they're just innocent people looking to help low-income Americans, but the reality of it is now we're seeing it. They're looking to seize up private property and to give it back to the government. I mean, that's what it looks like here. What's the very latest on this individual who's now serving in Zoe Mandani's administration?
Yeah, Happy New Year, Brianna. It's great to be back. So, this person, Sia Weaver, her name is, she's a radical, a real radical. She's a communist, as you say. And various tweets that she wrote, I think going back to sort of 2018, 2017, really show that actually, you know, she is among the most hardcore of the most hardcore. You know, she is somebody who believes, for example, that owning private property is a weapon of white supremacy. I think it's important actually to remember, look, that Zoran Mamdani himself is a communist. There is footage of him saying in interviews, I want to seize the means of production. Mm-hmm. Now that is the communist, the Marxist raison d'etre, seizing the means of production from the capitalists for the workers, for the proletariat, in order to create, you know, the Marxist communist utopia. So he is on record saying that. He's distanced himself from those comments, of course, because they've been brought up. They were brought up during the election campaign. But nevertheless, that is what he believes. He said, oh, no, I'm just a democratic socialist. But no, he is a communist. And also, if you look at his family, if you look at his father, Mahmoud Mamdani, who is, I believe he's at Princeton, but he's an academic, he's a professor. And, he's said a lot of stuff, a lot of, basically communist stuff, like this woman, Sia Weaver, and like his son. He, I think, is really, really an anti-white, radical leftist, hates white people. I think Zoran Mamdani, his son, hates white people too. And actually also, you know, during the election campaign, Zoran Mamdani was accused of wanting to tax white neighborhoods at a different rate from non-white neighborhoods in New York. He'd made those remarks, I think, in a private meeting, and then they were brought up in the New York Post and elsewhere. And he was asked about them, and he never distanced himself from them. So it's been on the cards right from the beginning. You know, nobody has any right, actually, to be surprised by what's happening to New York City and what will happen to New York City under Zoran Mamdani. We're going to get the most radical of left-wing platforms, which possibly will include different tax rates for white neighborhoods and other things that are the hallmarks of radical leftism and that we've seen produce such spectacularly disastrous results throughout the world wherever they've been applied.
Yeah, and this is my big issue here, because I feel like Republicans allow this to happen because, like you just said, there were very obvious indicators that this guy's a communist, and you cannot become a U.S. citizen if you have ties to the Communist Party or any affiliations. It's very, very clear, and I've reached out several times to the U.S. Immigration Services about denaturalizing him because, again, this is something that you could block someone from becoming a U.S. citizen on. And for some reason, our government decided not to intervene here. And, you know, I'll let you kind of respond to this, but I'm frustrated because I truly think at this point it's obvious to me that Republicans would rather New York City be taken over by communists, go straight to the dumpster, just become a horrible city, a dangerous city, regardless of how much crime happens. Just let it happen so they could run on the platform and say, well, look how bad things are getting under this Democrat. Vote for us, rather than a legitimate platform. And they're doing so at the cost of Americans. I mean, there's no other way to look at this. When you see these communists who are coming to the forefront of all of this, they're key players in his administration. Although he'll sit there and smile and he'll deny it, it's the facts are there. Whether you care to look at them or not is truly up to you. But we see right through it. Obviously you followed it. You followed his election as well, his campaign as well. What are your thoughts on why we even allowed him to take this position, why we even allowed him to continue to be a U.S. citizen, when even his own mother said that she doesn't view him as an American citizen? I doubt he views himself. And in front of the president, he's a nervous man. I mean, he's a weak little man. I mean, there's no other way to look at that. Look at that little weak man who can't even speak. When the president confronted him, too, he was nervous. He was on the edge. I mean, why did we let this happen to us?
Well, remember, actually, that hilarious bench press competition that he had with Eric Adams during the election campaign, where he could barely press his own body weight. That was very, very funny. But, it's a shame, really. I mean, I think Republicans time and time again show that they're not willing to do what's necessary in order to beat their opponents. And, I mean, this is as true of Ilhan Omar, for example, as it is of Zohran Mamdani. You know, we have long-standing, very clear evidence about Ilhan Omar basically marrying her brother, you know, and she's involved in all sorts of terrible fraud, and she also probably gamed the immigration system in order to become a naturalized citizen. And yet, you know, why has nothing been done about that? I mean, Ilhan Omar is at the tip of the radical left spear. You know, she's a member of the Squad. You know, she's one of these up and coming stars, future stars of the party. It's going to direct policy, you know, potentially for years, decades to come. You know, why wouldn't you, if you could actually denaturalize Ilhan Omar and get her out of the country, why wouldn't you? And likewise, Zohran Mamdani. I mean, he is a radical communist. He has the worst possible intentions. And like you say, I mean, I do think sometimes that actually what people on the right want to do, mainly because actually I think they have in some sense actually a kind of a deep dislike of urbanites, and in particular people from New York City, because, you know, I mean, New York City is New York City. It's very different from other parts of the country. It's very different from the more conservative parts of the US. You know, the East and West Coast liberal elite is a group apart. And so you get people, I think, right wingers who think, well, actually, let's let New York City go to hell. Let's let Los Angeles go to hell as a warning. And, you know, it will be funny. They'll get what they deserve. They'll get what they voted for. But actually, look, these places are worth fighting for. New York is as much a part of America as anywhere else, and it's worth fighting for. It's the financial center of America. I mean, it's where all the tourists want to go. It's an amazing city with an amazing history, and it's worth fighting for. And so, I mean, I don't think that it should be surrendered to someone like Zohran Mamdani. And unfortunately, he is now the mayor, and he's going to be the mayor for the next 4 years, unless, you know, barring some kind of extraordinary intervention. So, yeah, I mean, I think Republicans have to get their act together and do a better job of fighting people like this, people who are openly anti-American, who hate America and who want to subvert America and to change it into something completely unrecognizable.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's what's going to happen here. And, you know, I won't be able to go back to New York for 4 years. I mean, I'm not going to go back there. The reality of it is the NYPD is not going to be able to do its job. They have not been able to bring in good talent. They've been getting the worst of the worst, people who are unfit, unable to protect and serve, because nobody wants to work there. And so it's a dangerous, dangerous situation right now in New York, and just avoid it at all costs at this point. But it's really upsetting to see that our government has allowed this to happen in the first place. We'll see how it all plays out. Let's shift gears a little bit, though. Let's talk about France, because you know, we all joke about the Brigitte Macron stories constantly. I know a lot of people think that she is not a biological woman. She claims that she is, though. And if you dare post about this on social media, you too might actually be prosecuted and found guilty of harassing Miss Macron or Mr. Macron, however you want to view it these days. But you have another story that's posted right now over at Infowars.com. What is the latest about the 10 people who've now been found guilty?
Yeah, so 10 people in France have been convicted of cyberbullying. So it's worth saying that this isn't a defamation case. This is a bullying case. So actually back in the summer, I think in July, then two people were cleared by the Court of Appeal in France of defaming Brigitte Macron for saying that she was a man. So that's some important context for this case. So the Macrons, the French state, are going after people not only through attempts to, you know, to convict them of defamation, but also actually to convict them of bullying as well, simply for criticizing them. So although the people convicted in this case were, convicted of saying mean things about Brigitte Macron, about the fact that she, you know, is or might be a man, they were also convicted of criticizing the age gap between Emmanuel Macron and Brigitte Macron, which has long been a talking point, because they met when she was a teacher at his high school, at his secondary school. So he was 14 when he met her. So people have, you know, there's long been some talk about that, you know, whether she groomed him as a teenager. They didn't marry for some time after that, I think for at least 10 or 15 years after that, until I think Emmanuel Macron was 27. But so it's not just about whether or not Brigitte Macron is a man and, you know, what's lurking between her legs. It's also about, you know, just her relationship with the president of France, and actually whether ordinary people are allowed to criticize it, allowed to, you know, give voice to their opinion. And it's just one more instance, I think, of the attempts by European governments actually to chill freedom of speech and to pursue ordinary people for speaking outside of the kind of norms that the government wants to set. And this is happening all across Europe. You know, it's not just happening in France. It's happening in Germany. It's happening in Spain. It's happening in Scandinavia. And it's certainly happening in Great Britain, my home. It's part of a much broader trend. But I think what you'll probably see actually now that the French government has secured a conviction for these 10 people, it's an 8-month suspended sentence, I think. So they're not going to prison, but I mean, they've been convicted, and they'll only maintain their liberty under certain conditions that they'll have to abide by. But what I think you'll see is you'll see the French government actually going after more people now through this kind of through this route of claiming that they are cyberbullying the president and his wife.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's interesting to see play out. And I think criticizing their age difference, I think that's fair, given the fact that where they met, that is obviously something that is extremely concerning. And if the gender roles were reversed, I think it'd be okay to say it out loud. I think you'd be allowed to offer your criticism there. But since it's a female who is being accused of being a predator, for some reason, we act like we can't voice our concerns. But I think you absolutely can. We've got about 3 minutes left, but I want to get to the story too, and I'll let you take it away in regards to what you got on Infowars.com right now. It's more of an opinion piece in regards to patriotism and those patriots throughout Europe and America and throughout, obviously, the West. But there's still a group of patriotic men and women out there of all ages. And you wrote this really great piece right now up on Infowars.com. I'll let you take it away from here, though, and tell our audience all about it.
Yeah, so this was a piece called "Are White People Pussies?" So it's
I didn't say it, but I am apparently.
Yeah, no, it's a response actually. So I read an essay that was written in 2012 by a chap called John Derbyshire called "Are White People Pussies?" where he reflected on this offhand remark that he had made during a conversation with someone where they were talking about the differences between races and why white people put up basically with so much crap, why white people allow themselves in their home nations to be demonized and effectively to be treated as second-class citizens. And John Derbyshire sort of, you know, reflects on why he actually uttered that remark and, you know, some of the evidence, etc. And so I'm reflecting on that question too. And I think that, you know, it's something that you hear. It's something that you hear people bring up quite a lot, actually. You know, oh, why are white people so reluctant to do anything about the obvious oppression that they kind of labor under in their home nations, in the US, in Europe, throughout the Western world, in Australia, New Zealand. And it's an interesting question. It's obviously false. It's obviously wrong. And that's what I say. You know, I say, look, like the notion that maybe, you know, the reason why white people, why Europeans and Americans, etc., tolerate this kind of treatment from their governments, from the media, doesn't have anything to do with a lack of courage. It's got nothing to do with that at all. In fact, it's got much more to do with the fact that actually, in some way, really, white people, Europeans, are the victims of their own success, and they're also the victims of their own good intentions. So that's something that I say in the essay, you know, that actually, you know, for too long, we've actually thought that if we were just nice to everyone else, they would be nice to us, you know, and that isn't the case. And we've seen that actually, you know, we see that in terrible, terrible scandals like the grooming gang scandal, for example, in the UK, yeah. You know, where you import a radically different group of people from halfway across the world with radically different moral assumptions, radically different religion. And instead of, you know, integrating into your society and becoming model citizens, you know, adopting your values, etc., they live in ethnic enclaves and they prey on your women, on your young women in particular, and they groom and rape them and in some cases murder them. So it's a complicated business, but it's also got to do actually with the levels of propaganda that are directed at white people, that are especially this sort of sense of shame, like we saw with that Sea of Weaver woman, you know, who's working for Zoran Mamdani. I mean, white people have internalized this sense of shame about who they are, about their origins, and about you know, about what needs to be done in order to make society equal and to kind of atone for their historical privilege.
Yeah.
So for someone like C.L. Weaver, it means abolishing private property and depriving white people of their homes, you know, in the name of justice. So it's a complicated issue, but I think it's definitely much more than just a lack of courage. I think that's holding back white people today, unfortunately.
I know. You're right, though. Guys, if you want to read the full piece, head on over to Infowars.com. Raw Egg Nationalist, we appreciate your time as always and breaking down all of your incredible reports over at the site. So thank you so much, my friend. We greatly appreciate it. All right, folks, Dan Lyman's joining me in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. More to discuss in just a bit.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of, like, thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the Vaseline Blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his self-supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together. And they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, and it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's for good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on like my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to like the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, whether it is Minneapolis or Portland, these liberal cesspools are looking to stir up and bring back the 2020 BLM riots. And they're doing just that by pretending like their radical followers are victims of crimes based on the federal government reacting to what obviously most of us view as acts of terror. Specifically talking about that shooting we saw in Rabble earlier in the week. Renee Good was her name. She was obviously someone who was being accused of being a left-wing advocate that was a warrior. She was part of some like ICE watch where she'd stalk ICE officers allegedly and then go out there and try to block them. Well, it didn't work out well for Renee because, well, she decided to use her vehicle as a weapon. And if you have a couple of IQ points, still left. You know not to do that when a federal officer is pointing a firearm like directly at you. And it's worth noting, too, that officer didn't put himself in front of Renee's vehicle. She actually moved her vehicle in front of that officer. So there's that. But we're learning more and more about the incident. And so many of these left-wing terrorists, well, they don't want to blame Renee for her poor decisions. They'd rather blame the agent, the officer that you saw there, that was getting ran over, getting hit by her car. He is to blame, not her. Shoot at the tire. Shoot at the wheels. No, you know, I can't say this with a straight face. But obviously, they are now getting ready to try to fight our federal agents who are trying to deport the worst of the worst. And in clip 12, you're going to hear about their the nasty choice of words they tend to use while at these so-called peaceful protests. Take a listen. Issuing threats straight, if there's federal agents in that vehicle, straight to their faces. You're going to die, was what one of them said to those agents, to those employees, those federal employees. Why do we allow this behavior to continue on? I mean, it's quite obvious, right? They love to pin the right when they're in power. The right as the violent group. Nobody ever did anything that bad. Nobody ever did anything that bad. They're stalking these agents. They're going after them. They're trying to find out who their families are. And as you see there, they are trying to unleash on all of them. Joining me to discuss, Mr. Dan Lyman. He's one of the incredible reporters we have over at Infowars.com. And he's been following all things, I guess we could just say, like, that these left-wing terrorists are doing at this point. They're trying their very best to get these agents to not do their jobs and to act in fear. And they're not letting up anytime soon, but it's great to have you on the show, Dan, because a lot happening. You know, it's not just these federal agents also getting death threats straight to their faces. You know, Kristi Noem was mentioned during a New York City protest, the mob going out and screaming, Kristi Noem will hang. Now, obviously, this is deeply, deeply concerning. You're following all of it though, all across the country. What are you finding, my friend?
Yeah, things are really popping off. The left has found their new George Floyd. Happens to be a white psychopathic lesbian liberal, it seems like. And it's amazing that it's Minnesota. I mean, it's Minneapolis again. It's so fitting. Mm-hmm. But it is, of course, spreading nationwide. And we've been tracking that at InfoWars and BorderHawk.
Yeah. And that's the problem here, right? Because first off, I was watching a video and one of them was talking to the media and was like, she was a mother. Did she care about being a mother prior to doing all of this? Did she care about her children? And they don't ever want to answer that question. But you know, if you're a mother and your top priority is your children, you wouldn't be out there protesting the arrest of rapists, murderers, and people who have infiltrated and came into our country legally. I mean, you would not be out there doing that. You'd be with your children. And so to sit there and pretend like she's a mother now and that's some type of sob story we need to listen to and entertain is pretty infuriating. But this is what's going on all across the country. And I feel bad for these agents because there was this it's based in Minnesota, this outlet, this media outlet that actually dropped the first and last name of the ICE agents that shot Renee. And again, he was being hit by the car. He wasn't overreacting. I mean, this is the second time this has happened to him. DHS yesterday, I'm sure you saw the release detailing how the first time it happened to him, that in fact, he was dragged 50 yards by a sex offender, an illegal alien sex offender, and was dragged 50 yards and injured badly and had to go to the hospital over this. So that was just a couple of months before this incident. So, I mean, this guy, you have to understand that he's obviously acting in fear of his own life and he has every reason to believe that these people will kill him.
No question, of course. And the footage of the original incident back in June is disturbing. I'm amazed that this guy was survived and is actually back in the field, you know, back at it. So salute to him, Patriot. And it's so just sad to see the fall of the Drudge Report. I mean, deranged headlines there. Of course, still a good resource for trying to find out what's going on in the day. But the way that he spins everything is just, wow, it's amazing. But, yep, the Star Tribune, I believe it was, that docs this agent. And we know exactly what they're doing. They're trying to get this man and his family either harassed or assaulted or killed.
Yeah.
And my guess is the latter. And so, and this fits in with exactly with what we saw, that psychopath yelling at the federal building out in Minneapolis into the vehicle carrying federal agents. These people are totally brazen. They are militant. They are domestic terrorists. And it is time. It is time now for them to be dealt with, in my opinion, by the federal government and, of course, local law enforcement, where they will participate. We see that's not the case in Minneapolis.
Yeah, and I want to go over like what ICE is actually doing on the ground in Minneapolis, because you also put up a great story up right now on Infowars.com. And specifically, you're outlining how an illegal alien with an active warrant for murder and sexual assault was apparently recently apprehended. He was arrested in Minneapolis. I mean, these are the kind of people that these left-wing terrorists are trying to keep in our country. You know, maybe if they realize ICE wouldn't be in your neighborhood unless there was a reason for them to be in your neighborhood, maybe deport all of these nasty human beings and ICE wouldn't be there.
No, exactly. And that's really, you know, I saw this really poignant post, and it was from someone saying basically that they're starting to despair that they have to share a country with these deranged leftists, these communists, because what that means is we are expected to coexist also with illegal aliens who are murderers, child rapists, pedophiles, all manner of horrible crimes that they commit to innocent people. But then on top of that, of course, the fraud, the scamming, the destruction of our neighborhoods. And we're supposed to put up with that. And if we do anything about it, if we enforce the law, if we vote to have the law enforced, then these just insane communists are going to get out in the streets, attack federal agents, threaten their families, and of course, terrorize the rest of us with their behavior. With what we're seeing here in Minneapolis, we're seeing Maz, as some are calling it, the reincarnation of Chaz in Minneapolis, this barricaded no-go zone around the neighborhood where this woman was killed and tried to kill an ICE officer, apparently. So, you know, it is so tragic that we are expected to live with these people. And I do think that unless they are totally defeated, totally crushed, there will come a reckoning at some point, as, you know, a conversation about whether or not we can share a country with these people.
Yeah. And I'm really getting to the point where I don't want to anymore, because they do the same thing. It's the same playbook. Democrats need a distraction, especially in Minnesota right now, due to the fraud that's been exposed. And this is the perfect thing to tee up and push out there. And it's all the same people, all the same characters. And we allow this to happen. You know, the Trump administration allowed this to happen under his first term, where they didn't go hard enough against these people and they allowed them to vilify law enforcement officers, which resulted in, I believe, over six of them being killed during these BLM riots. Even one officer in Las Vegas who was shot execution style in the back of the head, he survived, but he's paraplegic now. He was practically brain dead. I mean, there was not much there, sadly. And they allowed that. I mean, they did. They allowed these protests we knew weren't protests, because a protest doesn't take place at night. A protest doesn't get violent. A protest doesn't include looters, but they all allowed it. So it's really infuriating. We're watching it all as it happens again, and it better not happen again, because they know exactly what this is all about. They know who's funding these things. And still, no raids of these NGO groups, no raids into these big billion-dollar people who are billionaires who despise our guts. And we're not seeing any major arrests. And so they're just waiting for it. But, you know, I want to also talk about this story yesterday in Portland, because I was watching, and this is how I prepare for this show. I torture myself and watch MSNBC and CNN to see what the narrative is on their side, so we know how to give the rebuttal, because they're full of garbage.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you. I was waiting for someone to say that. I sit there and I watch it all, and I'm just like stabbing my eyes out. But, you know, we got to do this at this point. But, you know, there was a shooting yesterday in Portland, and they, again, federal agents shot two people, and they wouldn't tell you the details behind the story. But thankfully, we have Trish McLaughlin, who's over at DHS, who's quick to rebuttal. And she went out there and was like, hold on a second. These are two people. At least the driver is, who's accused of being a part of Trenton Adiagua, and was like running a prostitution ring, which is never a prostitution ring, because these women, these children, they're never wanting or willing to be in these situations. They're forced by these gangs to be there. So these are rape victims. And obviously, Border Patrol was out there trying to save these kids, these women. And they're met with someone who has a history, allegedly, of being a violent person shooting at law enforcement. And so it all played out that these two, both the driver and the passenger of this vehicle, were shot. Let us know what the backstory on this is, because the mainstream media is lying to the American people and just saying like these are rogue agents who just opened fire on two people inside of a vehicle.
Indeed. As soon as we caught wind of this information, I reached out to Trisha McLaughlin over at DHS and heard back from her immediately. And her statement was illuminating about who they were going after and who was involved. And then we were able to piece together some other information based on the local police, what they had a statement that they put out, the local sheriff, who has effectively expressed solidarity with these Tren de Aragua gangbangers, expressing concern for their well-being and the well-being of their families in a public statement released after the shooting. But that's another story. And then also from what we could see from local reports and what some of the internet sleuths dug up. So I'll give you a composite here of what I have learned. And of course, any of this could change. But what it looks like is Border Patrol was conducting targeted enforcement in Portland, Oregon. They were looking for a male Tren de Aragua associate or a member of the gang. Sometimes there's a little blurry line there in whether or not they work with the gang or they're actual gang members. It's hard to know, but an illegal alien from Venezuela. And so what they'll do is they'll track these people down in many cases and then pull their vehicles over and then arrest them there. And so they pulled a vehicle over in Portland, and apparently the vehicle was being driven by the male that they were targeting, I believe. And then it looks like his wife, who was a passenger in the vehicle, who is also implicated with Tren de Aragua and a prostitution ring, was in the vehicle with him as well. And so when the agents identified themselves to the passenger and the driver then attempted to ram them, run them over, which is kind of a repeat of what we saw the day before in Minneapolis, although this is a bit different situation given the suspects involved. And so immediately a Border Patrol agent opened fire on them, fearing for his safety and also those of his fellow officers, and apparently struck both of them, but they managed to get away. And Border Patrol immediately called 911 to alert local authorities that there had been a shooting and explain the circumstances of the shooting. And then a couple minutes later, a male victim, a suspect, called 911 to report that he had been shot, requesting assistance. When emergency responders arrived on the scene, which I believe was about 2.5 miles from the shooting, they came upon this vehicle where a man and woman inside had been shot. They were transported for medical assistance at the hospital and treated there. And I believe they're both still alive. And so in the wake of this, actually, as it was happening, the Portland City Council recessed a meeting that they were in the middle of for an emergency security situation in their city. And effectively, the local authorities and, like I said, the local sheriff have all kind of condemned or at least counter-signaled the federal government for being in the city at all, for shooting these people, giving very few details about what exactly happened. But we got the the other side of the story from DHS, it looks like. And this is going to keep playing out, in my opinion. I mean, this has been playing out all the time. We have been seeing ramming attacks. I believe DHS says the number of ramming attacks, you know, people using vehicles to attack federal immigration agents is up more than 3,000% this year. We see these all the time. There was actually another one in Minneapolis yesterday, according to Gregory Bovino, that got no attention at all because of everything else that's going on. So we're looking into that one as well. And we're seeing more, over and over and over again, these left-wing radicals, these open borders communists, and also the illegal aliens and the gangbangers using their vehicles as weapons to attack federal agents, which makes the Rene Good story all the more clear about what was going on there, in my opinion, about what her intentions were.
Yeah, and you know, you make a great point in all of this. And by the way, we just put up on your screen, folks, DHS releasing the photos of the two individuals that were shot in Portland. But I want to get to this clip of J.D. Vance, because J.D. Vance was asked about this yesterday at the White House. And he had I think it's a solid take, but apparently the corporate media not very happy. Take a listen to clip 16.
If everything you say is true, how does being part of that network justify being shot?
Well, being part of the network doesn't justify being shot, but ramming an ICE officer with your car, that's what justifies being shot. It's not a good thing, by the way, but when you force somebody to engage in self-defense, it's almost a preposterous question. I'm not saying that funding some of this stuff justifies capital punishment. Nobody would suggest that. The reason this woman is dead is because she tried to ram somebody with her car, and that guy acted in self-defense. That is why she lost her life, and that is the tragedy. Now, there may be other violations of the law and other penalties that are associated with those violations of the law. For example, if you are funding violence against our law enforcement officers, I'm not a prosecutor. My guess is that's not the sort of thing that earns capital punishment, but it should sure as hell earn you a few years in prison if you're funding the effort to try to assault our law enforcement officers. I'm sorry, guys. What's going on here? You guys are meant to report the truth. How have you let yourself become agents of propaganda of a radical fringe that's making it harder for us to enforce our laws? You just asked me a question that presumed that the reason why this woman died is because she was engaged in legitimate protest. She tried to run somebody over with her car, and the guy defended himself when that happened. Next question.
Now, it sounds like common sense, but unfortunately over at TMZ, which is, by the way, owned by Fox Corp now. They did purchase it. The same company that owns Fox Corp owns TMZ. But specifically what they just put up on X yesterday is pretty absurd. But J.D. Vance appears to blame Renee Nicole Good for her own death. Shocker. Shocker that we can't, Dan, sit here and say, she might have caused that one. The response from the media, the justification that they're trying to push for her being there in the first place, her trying to hit that officer. Again, he wasn't even in her way. She maneuvered her car and made it very clear and then went and hit him. I mean, there's no defense for this. But for some reason, the mainstream media is trying to defend this. Oh, by the way, before I let you weigh on this too, January 6th, remember that? When they sat there and said that Ashley Babbitt, that she was in an unauthorized area that she shouldn't have been in, and that justified him shooting an unarmed woman with also, by the way, his fellow colleagues, his law enforcement officers right behind her. Nobody cared then on the left. They all wrote it off like, ah, she shouldn't have been there. But for some reason, now using your car as a weapon is something that we can't go after. We can't use lethal force for. Your reaction to their criticism of the president, or the vice president, I should say.
Oh, you know, he was very kind to them by saying, how have they allowed themselves to become tools of propaganda? These people are the weapon wielders of propaganda. These people are ideologically aligned with these radical animals in the street. They are all cut from the same cloth. It just they take different positions. Some of them are district attorneys. Some of them are governors. Some of them are working in the media, and the rest of them are out in the streets yelling at ICE agents, telling them that they're going to dox their families and that everyone's going to die, essentially. And I do hope that the Trump administration realizes that this is essentially, in my opinion, this is the final battle. This next 3 years are critical, because if the left takes power after this, every ICE agent is going to have their information released to the dark web, or perhaps even onto government websites. I mean, who knows at that point? We've seen them go pretty crazy with the January 6th stuff. And everyone who worked, who invested their blood, sweat, toil, their energy into this effort to clean up the country during the Trump administration will be at risk, as will their families, and as will everyone that is involved in this administration. We saw last night that this mob of what looked like thousands of people just in New York City were chanting, save a life, kill an ICE, Kristi Noem will hang, they're all going to burn. I mean, these people, they mean business. And we see, of course, what they did to Charlie Kirk, what they have done to President Trump. There is no figure too powerful. There is no person in a position of power too powerful for them to make an attempt on them. J.D. Vance was even a victim of this last week, I believe it was, at his home, somebody looking around there and trying to break in. So they're not scared of consequences. These people are deranged. Many of them are demonically possessed. And if they ever regain power, you know, they're going to come after everybody. And they're certainly going to come after everybody that worked in federal immigration enforcement. And I think that's what that particular demonstrator, whatever you want to call her, agitator, domestic terrorist, was screaming in the window outside the federal building, was saying, we're going to find you all. Your names are in government databases. We're going to find your families. And prior to that, she said, kill ICE. And so that's what's going to happen in the future if we don't win. So I hope the administration understands this, understands what time it is, and takes serious, serious action to crush this.
Yeah, we have to do just that. You know, I really love what's going on in Florida, too, right now. Governor Ron DeSantis, I know a lot of people have their little feuds that they like to pick with him, but I think he does an incredible job as governor of Florida. And just the whole state is really just ran properly. Right now, we're hearing stories about how they've arrested so far 20,000 illegal aliens. It's a new operation that was unleashed recently, actually, I should say. Give us the details about that.
Yeah. So I during the presidential election, I was baffled that DeSantis would even take a crack at it when Trump was running. And I felt like he did a terrible job and wasted so much political capital. All of that aside, I think he is doing a great job in the state of Florida.
Yeah.
As a Florida resident, I appreciate the efforts here. And drilling down into this story, the state of Florida has more 287G partnerships with ICE, which basically means that local and state authorities in law enforcement are working hand in hand with immigration authorities to enforce federal immigration law and to get illegals off the streets and then turn them over to federal custody when necessary. And Florida, at last info that I had from ICE, they have more partnerships with ICE, just the state of Florida, than 41 other states and territories combined. So that gives you an idea of just how serious Florida is about this issue. And you have a great attorney general here, James Uthmeyer, working hand in hand with the governor and other officials who I'd never even heard of, this agricultural commissioner also doing a great job. So they launched Operation Tidal Wave in April of last year. It's been running now for about 9 months, and they announced that around 10,000 illegal aliens have been taken off the streets just during Operation Tidal Wave. One of the components of Operation Tidal Wave is enforcing these highway checkpoints. So they're pulling over suspicious vehicles, suspicious agricultural vehicles. They're seizing stolen big rigs, which, of course, we've talked a lot about here in the last few months. And then also enforcing along Florida's northern border, where there are a lot of kind of secondary highways where people were using to enter the state. They were actually cracking down there as well. So they've caught about 10,000 people, 10,000 illegals, through this operation, 63% of whom already have criminal records in the United States on top of being here legally. And on top of that, another 10,000 or so have been taken off the streets by local law enforcement, separate of this Operation Tidal Wave. So they're doing a great job here in the state of Florida. And I saw a lot of people complaining, saying, oh, only 20,000, we need so much more. Yes, of course. But this is just the state and local authorities. This is not the federal authorities necessarily cleaning up the streets of Florida. Those are in addition to what's going on here. So if this effort ramps up, I think it looks good. And the governor also hinted at opening a third immigration detention center out in the panhandle. There's already two. Of course, everyone will know about Alligator Alcatraz. And then, of course, Deportation Depot, which is up near Jacksonville. And they're talking about opening a third out in the panhandle. And I would imagine if the funding is there, they'll just keep opening them all over the state. The center of the state is nearly useless outside of the agricultural applications. There's plenty of swampland. I say we put some more facilities out there or anywhere that is appropriate.
Yeah, Dan. I mean, listen, Florida's got the money for it. They are able to balance their budget. They are sitting on a lot of cash. So let's hope that they put that cash to good work. Dan Lyman, you do an incredible job over at Infowars.com and Border Hawk as well. So thank you, my friend. We appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you. Great weekend to all and to you as well.
Thank you. Thank you. Folks, make sure you give them a follow on X if you want to hear the very latest on how we're combating these illegal invaders over on X. Real Dan Lyman is where you could follow him. All right, folks, you like my hoodie? I hope you like my hoodie. If you do, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com because you could buy this hoodie over at the shop. Best part about it, it is our fundraising hoodie. So every time you purchase one of our, and it's a great quality hoodie, over at thealexjonesstore.com, you're helping us stay up and running. We greatly appreciate you staying in this fight with us. So head on over thealexjonesstore.com right now and take a look around. A lot of our popular hoodies are on sale right now over at the shop. And when you make a purchase, you're going to get also potentially a free gift. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do, yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. bodybuilders take is it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us, we might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Ooh, 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 ooh.